The hour has arrived for me to bring forth the evening lesson, and I thank God for everything that has been done and said up until this point. But I have no choice but to revert back to what happened tragically to me this week, and I use it as a good example. You know, I turned into the street of my home, and I was five houses away from my house. I just worked, purchased grocery, everything was in the back seat, and I was denied a rite of passage to go into my home. Think about that, church, for us during the end time. And we done all we could up until that point, and we were still denied the right to make it into heaven. So I want to make sure I do all I can to get my house in order, physically on this earth as well as spiritually, and most importantly, spiritually, so I'm never denied the rite of passage to make it to my home. And that kind of correlates into my lesson. My lesson is going to be a lesson that correlates into the lessons that I've been giving for the past couple of weeks here. This may be one of the last ones that I've been going through in these passages or this lesson history. The topic is the end of time, the four beasts revealed. The end of time. And I know Brother Dennis has been in Daniel for a while on his evening lessons. And I like to revisit chapter 7 of Daniel again. And I encourage you all to study today and also study at home, because what I want to present today is going to be a little unconventional. Yet, I want to use the Word of God in everything I do to show the things that I gathered in my study. And there was a lot of things that I gathered, so be patient with me, because you all know I'm not a man of little words. So I try to condense it down as much as possible, okay? So again, the subject matter is going to come from Daniel 7, and it reads as following, Daniel 7 and 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream of visions in his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And I want to digress for a little while there. Daniel did something very important right there that we can't overlook. You know, he wrote down the sum of the matters. You know, he had a dream, but, you know, a dream could be deferred. You can forget your dream. But if you got visions like he did, he wrote it down, the sum of the matters. He wanted to know the science of what was going on. And I liken that to what we do on every Lord's Day. I think we should, me personally, I know people retain 89% of what they see, psychologists say. I think we need to write down the lessons more so that we have everything in a book for us every year. You could have 52 lessons that you could propose to someone that's lost in the world, if not 104, if you go into every evening service. So I think it's very important that he wrote that down. I would encourage you all to do the same thing as well. I'm going to adhere to that and see if I stick with that plan. So every year, Lord's willing, I'll have enough lessons that all the brothers came about, and I'll have that knowledge to give to others as well as myself. But as I digress, it reads as following, Daniel 7 and 2. Daniel spake, and I saw in a vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strode upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Diverse, you have to pay attention to that word diverse, different than the others. And verses 4 it says, the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld to the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. So traditionally, what biblical scholars believe, this lion is to be the Babylonian Empire. And the lion, speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, with his strength and power at Babylon that they have at that time. And the wings, they believe, was important to that scripture because how swift the Babylonians were in their victories. But that's good for short-term prophecy. That's all Daniel probably would have known of as well was Babylon during that time. Moving on to verses 5. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth, of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now, theoretically or history, traditionally, I should say, most biblical scholars believe that this bear is Medo-Persia. And the ribs of his mouth is historically believed to be the three empires that they conquered, Libya, Egypt, and Babylon. Those are the three kingdoms that it subdued. And that makes plenty of sense as well. And verses 6, it reads the following. After this I behold, this is Daniel speaking again, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings and a fowl. And the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And again, traditionally this leopard depicts Greece. And the four wings historically are the four generals that Alexander the Great left his kingdom to in his death will. And I used to remember them during history off the back of my hand. But I believe it's Antigonus, Seleucid, and I know Ptolemy. I remember Ptolemy because Cleopatra come from that reign in Egypt. But I can't remember the fourth one. So that definitely sounds good as well. You know, theoretically and historically, I can see how all that would make sense as well. So I'm not trying to deter what the biblical scholars said during that time or during our time as well. However, in Daniel 8, you know, Daniel had a vision of a ram and a he-goat. And in that representation, they also believed that the ram was Medo-Persia and the he-goat was Greek. So it's two separate visions, so they may be talking about two different lights there. But everything is going to come together. I just want to read to you what most biblical scholars think these four beasts are. But moving on to the fourth beast in Daniel chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8, Daniel said, after this I saw the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake it pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns, and behold, here came up among them another little horn, before whom they were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So this is ever present of the same beast that's in Revelation 17 that I've been talking to you guys about a few weeks prior. And we know that beast, according to my lesson of last week and what others have studied as well, folks believe that's the Holy Roman Empire revisited, like Brother Tom was talking about earlier today. But that 11th head, the one that they're talking about that comes out of the 11th horn, excuse me, that horn comes out that 10 horn, that's supposed to be the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the wicked one, the little horn, the beast. That's what they call. That's all his names. However, in Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, this last chapter, Daniel is pretty much pleading and praying to God that he can be revealed these things, because he really doesn't know what's going on. You know, this is a guy looking thousands of years in the future. So, you know, imagine if we were doing the same thing too. We would be perplexed because we don't know how things look in the future. We don't know how people behave or things are during that subject matter. So Daniel was real distraught from the visions that he's seen, because he never seen nothing like this in his life. You know, a lot of technological advances came in the 20th century. So prior to that, you know, all they knew was horses, camels, and, you know, all agrarian lifestyle. So he could, I can imagine Daniel thinking of a car and saying, wow, what is that? You know, and that's why he was so perplexed. And it'll tell you right now in Daniel chapter 12 and verses 9, he'll tell you, well, actually 8 and 9. It says, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. The end times, the time of the end. See, Daniel couldn't really understand this to the best of his knowledge because he's not during the time that we are in right now. But it will, God said, it will reveal itself during the end time. So we should be able to know what's going on during the end times, the times that we are in now. So now I propose to you, are these the four beasts that we read about, are these really the four beasts that we know of today? Do we know that Babylon is still ruling, or Greece, or Medo-Persia, all these other countries that really kind of fell from grace, and they're not really in power nowadays? And Daniel 7 and 9, it let us know that the ancient one, Jesus Christ, and I'll read that for you real quickly, and I beheld to the thrones were cast down. So Daniel seen these thrones being cast down, these kingdoms. And the ancient one of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair as his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. So that's the same depiction of Christ in Revelation. You know, hair like wool, and the garment white as snow. That's the same depiction of Christ. So I know Christ didn't automatically come and establish his throne when these four kingdoms, or these three kingdoms, were subdued. So can I show examples of the nations that may fit these criteria is the question. And will the word of God that we rely on really show these nations exist during this time? Let's go back to Daniel chapter 7 and 4. We're going to reread these, and I'll show you what I have gathered throughout my course of study. So it reads as following again. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, I don't know if any of you all know, but there is a nation that has a symbol of a lion today. And if you know who that nation is, and you're guessing right, and if you guess Great Britain, then you're right. In fact, in front of Trafalgar Square, which is downtown London, they have the lions right in front of it, because that's their national emblem. So could Daniel be talking about back in 550 BC, a country that didn't come to almost 1,500 years after? We don't know. But I'd like to give some more support and evidence towards that. Now, in verses 7 and 4, a lot of biblical scholars think this could mean something. And I'm not putting my whole heart on that, but it could be. They believe that Daniel chapter 7 and verses 4 is talking about a country that came from the lion, which is England. And reasons following, it says that the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings therefore were plucked. So if you know the nation that you stand in today, our emblem is the eagle. And our mother country is England. And they say 7-4, Daniel 7-4, is reminiscent to our Independence Day, the day that we were born, July 4, 1776. Again, that's speculation, but could Daniel be talking about a country that came 2,300 years later? I don't know. But I do know that this Bible is right, and it does foreshadow that what's going to happen in the future. But if you were to take out a dollar bill, you would see on that dollar bill that our emblem is the eagle. And if you were to go to London, you would actually see that the lion is ever present of England's emblem. But it said that it was plucked out and was lifted from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, another emblem what we have, when we said we're going to pay our taxes, we said we're going to pay Uncle Sam. Now, I don't know if Daniel was talking about Uncle Sam back in 550 BC, But I do have some evidence that shows that they're talking about this a little too much for my liking, that make things coincide too much. You know, more evidence is found in Time Magazine. In 1988, Time Magazine had an article of USA versus what was then the USSR, the Soviet Union. And it had a picture in 1988 on the cover of Time Magazine of Uncle Sam face to face to the bear. And that bear we're going to talk about next, because that's the other beast. So, church, I can't make up things like that. And neither can man either, but it can be part of the will of God. But I got more evidence, and I can let you guys decide upon yourself. You know, in 1980, Time Magazine also had the eagle and the bear. And the topic of the Time Magazine at that time was the eagle and the bear. Will it explode? And they were talking about USA, and the bear is what they believe is Russia. And they were talking about the Cold War. But we're going to read a little more of it. And like I said, you all can make your own decision if these things be so for you. But the bear is found in Daniel chapter 7, verses 5. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it was raised up itself on one side. And it had three ribs in its mouth between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now, if you know anything about history in World War II, Stalin killed a lot of people. He killed a lot of people. A lot of the Jews that lived in the Eastern European plains. So it could be referring to that, but I do know that Russia's national emblem is the bear. And also, this is through all their propaganda that they're displaying all these things. In 1980, in the Indianapolis Star, they wrote about the Lion of England is replaced by the Russian bear. So, again, church, I haven't made these things up, but I do know that all this stuff, all this research is circulating, and it's kind of coming to pass in these end times, the day of at hand. But also in 1984, because of the Cold War, Russia was abstaining from the Olympics, and Time Magazine did a cover-up on them, and they showed the Russian bear eating the Olympic rings. So it's a lot of things out there, again, church, that can relate back to these four beasts and everything that Daniel said. Daniel, to me, is the revelation of the Old Testament. Everything in here reverts back to what we're doing nowadays. But let's move on to Daniel chapter 7, verses 6, and let's talk about the leopard. After this, I behold, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. And the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So first, there's a lot of context in that scripture that we need to dissect. First, let's talk about the leopard. In July 29th, 1969, you know, during the Vietnam War years, Germany introduced its Leopard tank. And 6 years later, the tank was so dominant, look at that word dominion, it was so dominant that other countries interchanged its parts with it because it was so dominant. But Germany, when they refer to their militia warfare, they refer to it as the Leopard because it's so swift. And we know from Revelation 17, when I was speaking of earlier in the earlier lessons, that when you have four heads, such as this beast right here, just like the beast in Revelation 17, that means the rising and falling of the empires. So Germany had four rising and fallings. We'll have a falling soon. And they call it the four Reichs, meaning reign or regime. The first Reich was during the time of Napoleon Bonaparte, during the 1870s. Germany actually started the Franco-German War. The second Reich was during World War I, referring to these heads of these leopards here, during 1914 and 1918. And again, that was started by Germany. The Third Reich, which is the most familiar, was led by Hitler. And we know that he dominated that Reich. He dominated that so much that Winston Churchill called for a day of prayer and fasting, because he had them pinned back. But Hitler second-guessed himself, and that allowed Winston Churchill to bring the U.S. troops on, and they saved it at D-Day in Normandy. So just giving you a lot of history here, but all this history tie into the Word of God. The Fourth Reich is what we're living in now today, and there's a book out if you want to investigate yourself called The Fourth Reich, The Fourth and the Richest Reich. And that's actually written by Edwin Hartwig, and that speaks of Germany's dominance today. You know, you look at Germany, in the last 120 years, and this actual article in a newspaper called The German Malady, it stated, in the past 120 years, the Germans have dominated Europe intellectually, industrially, and militarily since the time of Charlemagne. It never happened since the last 120 years, during the end of time. And we know that right offhand because Carl Benz was the first one to come with a car before Ford and the Autobahn and all the other innovations that they came about. And that speaks of the dominance, that's dominion, that's in verses 6. And it reads as following, but the leopard, just like the lion, had four wings, if you read it in verses 6, just like the lion did. And does those wings have meaning? And scholars like to think so. You know, France's emblem is the rooster. Same wings they're talking about there. And since World War II, France and Germany, they've been working together to rebuild Europe. And they're pretty much the founders of the European Union. And if you were here for my lesson last time, the European Union is pretty much the Holy Roman Empire revisited. So could Daniel be talking about back in 550 B.C., what's going on and what happened in 2009 when they finally culminated the European Empire? I don't know. But I definitely would love for us to study to find these things out. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, verses 7, it talks about the dreadful and terrible beast. The dreadful and terrible beast. And it reads as following. And this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the other beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. And historically, we know that scholars do believe that this is the beast that's going to produce the Antichrist. This is the beast that during this time of his reign, that's when the end of the world shall come. And theoretically, everybody really have enough scriptures to know that this is the beast that the biblical scholars are talking about. But during this time, when this beast empire is going to end, you know, Greece, Babylon, and Medo-Persia won't be around and as dominant as they were in the past. So that's something that you can take and eat and study upon. But I do know that England and America, we're ever present. You know, Russia still there. Germany and France is still there. And the European Union is as well. But we're going to read in Scripture to prove that whoever these four beasts are, they're going to be around during the time Christ come back. And it reads as following, the remaining of the chapter. And I'll read from Daniel 10 on. I start at 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, speaking of Jesus, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels is burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands of thousands ministered unto him. 10,000s times 10,000s stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words, which was the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. So that lets you know that Christ is going to overcome. No matter who these four beasts are. Maybe the ones I suggested, maybe some other countries or what have you. But it lets you know here and also in Revelation 17 and 14 that the Lamb will overcome whoever is coming in his way. And verses 12, it says, as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night visions that, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and the kingdom that people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that will shall not be destroyed. So Daniel is not only given the people in the Old Testament hope, but he's also providing hope for us that if we stay in the body of Christ, that we're going to be with this Lamb, the Ancient of Days, the Son of Man. And in verses 15, again, it's just like Revelation 17 and 14, Daniel said, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Again, Daniel didn't understand what he was seeing because it was so far and futuristic. You know, if he were seeing what was going on during maybe the Roman Empire or those other ones, you know, he probably could relate to that, but I'm not quite sure. But I know what he saw, it perplexed him, and it says that in the scripture. And it reads as following. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know that the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So the saints are going to be around, the saints of the Most High, and it's speaking of Christ, are going to be around during that time. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, breaking pieces and stamping the residues with his feet, and the ten horns that were in his head, and the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. So in verse 20, it's letting you know that the Antichrist, it may be more deceiving than what you think. His look is more stout than the other fellows. He's going to subdue the other three. So we definitely have to have our house in order in all things. And be ready when these things come, because we may be living during that time. In verses 21, it says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And a lot of folks believe this is during the time of Armageddon. But again, this is when this beast is going to make war with the saints. Until the Ancient of the Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it into pieces. And the ten horns out of the kingdoms are ten kings that shall arise. Another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given unto his hand until his time and times of the dividing time. So, again, a lot of folks believe that that's the last 7 years or so of time. But yet, Daniel is foreshadowing 25 years in the future that this individual is going to change laws and he's going to change our course of living. So we should already be prepared for that. Verse 26, it says, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it until the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is everlasting kingdom, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So we're in a race, church. But the great thing about this race, we know when it's over, it's going to be victorious. So we must stay in our lane. You know, we need to really, really look at Revelation 17 and 14, because it says the call, the chosen, and the faithful. But we have to realize that our enemies are again found in Ephesians 6 and 12. And again, that's one of my favorite scriptures that I read pretty much every time I'm up here, because it needs to be ever present in our mind that we know who we're warring against. And again, Ephesians 6 and verses 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a flesh and blood thing. It's not this group versus this group. We're not wrestling against that. That's what they want us to believe. But the Bible says different. It's against principalities. Principalities are rulers with certain divisions. For example, it could be a senator has a principality. He could be a senator of Texas. That's who we're warring against. Principalities, against powers. That's government authorities. Against spiritual wickedness and rulers of the darkness. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and we know that's Satan and his angels. And against spiritual wickedness, and that's the folks that's adding things and taking things away from the Word of God. Spiritual wickedness. So those are the people that we're battling against. But again, church, we need to make sure that since we were called, many are called and few are chosen. If you're chosen, then you got to undergo the plan of salvation. You have to die to sins. You have to be buried in the liquid grave of water baptism. And you got to resurrect to walk into a newness of life. And when you do those things, the scripture said in Revelation 17 and 14 that you must be faithful. And the best representation of being faithful is found in Revelation 10 and 2 and 10. And that's when you will receive a crown of life because you're so faithful. And when we have a crown of life, whoever these four beasts are, I'll let you make your own speculation. Whoever, and we know who Satan is, we're going to overcome them. If we stay in lines of the Word of God, if we stay with the Lamb is going to prevail. He's going to win that race, and we'll have the benefit of eternal life if we do so. So, church, I want you guys to take in mind of Daniel chapter 7. It's a great chapter. The whole book of Daniel itself is very prophetic, and it tells of the end of time. And from the scriptures I read to you today and just from researching, I really do believe that we are right there. No man knows the hour or the time of the day, but we are in the end of times. And it just tells us right here, plain and simple, from everything that we read throughout the scripture. But if you're not part of the call, the chosen, and the faithful, then I would vehemently beseech you to get into the body of Christ, because that's the only way. That's going to be your only ticket to make it into heaven and not be denied the right to make it to your true and faithful home that was built for you. So we want to make sure that if you haven't obeyed the gospel, that you do continue to hear the word of God found in Romans 10, 17, that you believe, and found in Mark chapter 16, verses 16, believe and be baptized. And that you repent, change your pernicious ways. We got to change our ways because we're living in perilous times. And we can find that in Luke chapter 13, verses 3. And that we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. We can find that also in Matthew 10 and 32 and Romans 10, 9 and 10. And also be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And Acts 4 and 12 is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. and that is the Lamb of God. And we got to make sure that we're running this race with the Lamb of God. Otherwise, these other four beasts are going to subdue us. And it's a lot of people that's going to be subdued. And we know that we know too much to be part of that number. So I strongly encourage you guys to go and study the chapter again. And definitely bring me more feedback, because iron sharpens iron as men and women sharpen men and women. And I love to learn from you, and I hopefully you learn from me today. But I thank you for your time.